Hey. Good morning or good afternoon now. Is that Rob?
Rob, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Right now it's just Sean in here. We're waiting on the rest of the team to
Okay.
pop in. Before they get in here, we have all the pains and tribulations that we were going through with the firm. Looks like that's working its way through. The firm created a new designation of private wealth advisor, which they only brought in about 100 to 150 FAs to be part of with the 15,000 advisors that are here, and put us in a position to where we really can't work with anybody with less than $2.5 million. So we had to do a lot of segmentation at the end of the year, and as a result, I think it's going to work out for the best.
Good.
The rest of the team just walked in here, Rob. So we've got Rob Briggs just walked in, and then the two newest additions to the team, Kitty and Colin, are on with us as well.
Hello.
Hi, sir.
Hi, Kitty. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Rob. Good to meet you.
Rob, I never even thought about the fact that we stole
Hey, Colin.
Colin. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year.
I'm doing great. Same to you. I didn't tell you this, Colin, but Mr. Knapp grew up, when he was your age, as a naval aviator. And Colin had thought about going into the Navy, but things didn't quite work out the way that he wanted them to, Rob. And then I actually cleared the deal for him forever when I spoke with his girlfriend at my house on Saturday while they were picking up some stuff for the new apartment. I explained the financial comparisons between the United States military and the financial services business. So, and Colin looked at me and I
Uh-oh.
said, "Colin, this is a very important lesson for you to learn. Always know who you're selling, who you need to close. I don't need to close you. I need to close her."
And he did, FYI.
So that's
I'm sure Sean brought you up to speed. So we are in the position, Rob, that you wanted us to be in for the 3 years we've been working with you. So we finally got it.
I was just getting. I was briefly introducing him to the PWFA role. That's really kind of all. That's where I got.
Oh, well, Mr. Knapp, then let me tell you, if I could articulate, you said that what we needed to really take us to the next level and position us to go where we needed to go next was we needed somebody that could run the practice, help us run it on a day-to-day basis, that had a very deep experience, that would have a level of acumen and maturity that would ensure that the focus was always on the business and on moving things forward for the client. And somebody that had demonstrated a long tenure and loyalty. And so Kitty comes to us from 20 years with Wells and its predecessor firms. I'll let her tell you a little more about it. And she did have a little bit of trouble holding a job, though, because she worked for one team for that entire 20 years. So,
Well,
Sean's figuring if we can get another 23 or 24 out of her, about another 20% longer, he'll be okay.
that's hilarious. Yes, I started in a little over 20 years ago with AG Edwards and in a little town in South Carolina, and with the same worked for the same with the same two FAs for 20 years through the merger with Wachovia and Wells Fargo Advisors, and one of them became branch manager. I just stayed there, but I moved up here really to be with family, and fortunately found this job to go along with that.
So it has nothing to do with us, Rob, and everything to do with our adorable granddaughter.
My granddaughter.
I moved to Nashville to be with my granddaughter. I'm
See?
still
There you
happy
go.
here in Florida. But yeah, I miss her every day when I'm in Florida here.
Bet.
Yeah.
Yep. So here we are.
And Rob, Colin Temp was a temp with us. Since August, really, when all of the kind of the changes started, And after having had a chance to watch his work ethic, his desire to learn, his enthusiasm, his curiosity, all the things that I think you and I and Sean would say that we see in successful people, we said to him that if something ever opened up with the Navy and you wanted to go serve your country, we would thank you and congratulate you. We would never have a hard feeling about that at all. But that until that kind of surfaced, or until he decided he wanted to do that, that we'd love to have him here with us on the team. And as I said, I think that that became a permanent position after we started to chat with his girlfriend. But it was great because there wasn't a question about what's his work ethic, what's his intellect, what's his any of those things that we all know are so meaningful and so profound. And I'm even more encouraged because the gal that was helping us, who was super competent, Jill, out in Vegas, I asked her what she thought about us offering Colin a job and bringing him into the role. And she said, I think you guys would be missing a very big opportunity if you didn't do it. She said he's bright, he catches on fast, clients love him, he's ambitious, he wants to kind of take the ball and run with it. He had to interview with the local folks, and the gal here, who we have a huge amount of respect for, that it was a compliance ops person, said that she was the best young CA interview she'd ever had in her life. So we're really very, very excited about having him here with us and how now we can kind of go to the next level that we've all talked about. I've given him just a very brief overview of your background, your career. I'm going to get him copies of the book, obviously. And Colin is familiar with the 1242 and the Supernova because he's been putting a lot of stuff together for us for the last several months, and Kitty is starting to get acclimated. I've kind of made an agreement with myself and with everybody that for the first 2 weeks we'd let Kitty figure out, you know, get the systems turned on, figure out, you know, where the ladies' room is, get to know some of the folks and things, and not really get too deep in some of these other issues. And we just had a meeting yesterday to start to think about structures and how we're going to do things. And Kitty's got some great ideas already about how we take some of my and Sean's notepads and our post-it notes and everything else and actually put them on the what's called the dashboard, which is basically our workstation. So that's where we're at, sir. Did Sean tell you that he did one more culling of the book at the end of the year?
Well, I knew you were going to have to do that based on the requirement that you have a minimum of, 5 million or 2.5 million, whatever that ended up being. But
so I think Sean moved off another 30 or 35 million, and
we got rid of 40 households at the end of the year, Rob.
Great. Good job.
So with all of that, I'll let you kind of, Rob, however you introduce the processes and the systems and whatever you think would be useful for them to understand.
Well, this sort of, you know, we're starting a new, kind of a new chapter for us now. We'll have 12 weeks to get ourselves, or 12 months to achieve some goals. So I'm really interested in, you know, what you guys, and I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on any of that, but that's my understanding. You know, it's important that I not tell you guys what I want to accomplish. It's most important that you tell me what you want to accomplish and how best to use me to help you. Because Rob, you and I, and Sean, you've been working with me enough, long enough, a lot of years, that you know there's answers, there's value there. I mean, but I think it's very important that you kind of define what it is what you'd like to accomplish. And I'm happy to orient the team, but why don't you share what your thoughts are there?
My thoughts are pretty simple and straightforward, Rob. I listened. I had an occasion to be in the car for about 12 hours last week. So I listened to multipliers again. And my theory is that at this point, I think that we have done a very good job. I would give us an A to A minus. And using what I'm going to recall the service aspects of Supernova, I would like to see us continue to enhance and refine those, because really I have a objective now that I really want us to be essential to clients' lives. I don't even think it's enough to be to have satisfied customers. And I know that, you know, we've always said that kind of the top level is to be an advocate, and I think that's good as well, but I want to be essential. I want clients to feel like that without us that they can't achieve the things that they want to achieve. And then the other thing is that as I think about the experience and being one of our clients and being in our practice, I want that to feel like a I almost, you know, maybe it's too hokey, but I almost want it to feel like a family, Rob. I mean, I want it to be a very highly connective relationship. I want it to, you know what I think, the word I'm going to use is, Rob, I want it to be immersive. I want us to be immersed on a client spot. I don't want to pop in and pop out. And I think some folks do that, and then I think that they tend to grade their relationship based upon how frequently they pop out. If we could be immersed in our clients' relationships and be essential to their lives, that's where I want to go from a service standpoint. And I want to be the guy, and I want to become the multiplier, and that's my role. That's what I really want to do.
Okay. Thinking about that, you know, things pop into my mind. Sean, what do you see the lever being in working with me directly, you know, for this new year?
I think, Rob, the continued level of accountability and continuing and candidly getting us back on course to where, you know, we probably need to be. We've got off in, you know, from the use of the folders, from the tracking. We need to get back on target with that. And I would say a good portion of the calls have continued to really just continue to go through the motions. We need a much, you know, to Rob's point, a much deeper dive. And coming back to the, you know, the educational topics, really the impact of advice that we need in terms of being, you know, integral into the client relationships and their lives.
Okay, good. So one of the things that I do is be to, let's go back to the fundamentals of, you know, this is a football, and simply talk about the structure of the team and roles and responsibilities. So as FAs, it's just you two, right? And then Kitty and Colin will act as support staff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So in terms of differentiating their roles, at this point, it sounds like Kitty is going to be in charge of everything service-wise and operations, and Colin is learning. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And Rob, the one thing that Sean had talked about was equipping Colin to be able to pull all the 12-4-2 materials the first two or three days of the month. So thinking about asset allocations, performance reports, any of those things. I do think Colin's gotten to the point that he can move around those systems pretty comfortably. Colin, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
To pull those things. So that's the one kind of identified role that we did have in addition to learning for Colin.
Okay. In terms of setting appointments and keeping the calendar, that though would be in charge. Kitty would be in charge of that.
I would actually say,
strong still maintains a lot of control over the calendar, and that is simply because of the fluidity of our clients' needs as opposed to stuff that comes up last minute for Rob and Sean. I think Kitty and I, and I know I will set up initial appointments or calls with clients, but I always kind of preference that with Sean will confirm this if anything else last minute comes up. So I think Sean still really kind of controls the calendar just because he understands it, not only travel time, but he kind of has a really good idea of looking ahead and seeing what people need for that week.
Okay, Sean, I don't want you doing that.
Yeah, I was just going to add that I think that's going to have to evolve and change over time.
And Rob, I think one of the things that we need to do is Kitty's got to get to know the clients just a little bit, who they are, and then also, as you probably know or can appreciate, traveling around this area is a lot different than traveling most places. You know, it may say that it's 7 miles to where we need to be, and may think, oh, they ought to be able to do that, but it's an hour and 10 minutes. So Kitty just being here, that's what I was saying, she's only been here for 2 weeks. I think those things will, there's some non-intuitive aspects to that that I think we've got to think about.
But in terms of running the 12-4-2 calendar, that's got to be her responsibility. I mean, it could be Collins, but somebody's got to be in charge of it other than you guys.
Yeah, and I think that's, Rob, I think you're right. And by and large, the 12-4-2 is set. So, you know, that's one of the things that we talked about a little bit yesterday is that the only people, Rob, that really aren't on the quote-unquote what I'm going to call the 12-4-2 are institutional clients. And there are still, I would say, there's two or three stragglers that are CEOs or something, and they're, you know, flying all over the world. We've got a CFO at a Fortune 100 who's not on there because we just can't track her down that regularly. One of the other guys is the CEO of Martin Marietta. He comes off of that position at the end of middle part of this year, so he'll be a little easier. So 90% of the clients are all scheduled in the 12-4-2s. We know what that schedule is, that rhythm is. And by and large, they're all committed to that. And typically, if there's going to be a change, while certainly life comes up, most of them live by calendars in such a way that they will say, hey, guys, next month on this day, I'm traveling. I can't do it, or we're going to need to change it. And then the other thing that I did do in advance of our meeting that you've been after me to do for a long time and I've never done is I do have my calendar pretty well set for myself personally and all of our team meetings, at least the recap meetings, for the rest of this year. So that's done.
Okay. And I would just like you have no flexibility anymore in terms of your minimums, I would make it 100% 12-4-2s. I mean, just because somebody's rich and busy doesn't mean that they shouldn't talk to you. I mean, you talk about family, they better be talking to you, okay? And busy people, they have time. They just make time. They're very good at it. That's why they have the jobs they have. And it can be 10 minutes, but it needs to be regular because they're busy and there's a lot going on and you've got to be essential to them. If you're not essential to them, they're not really a client, okay? They're a customer and you don't want any customers. So I just repeat myself in that vein. Institutional or individual, I don't care. I want them all 12-4-2, okay?
Yep.
I mean, you got to be rigid. You got to be process oriented here.
Yep.
So I want you to go back and redo roles and responsibilities. Who's the director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing? Okay. Leadership. Just kind of go back through that and see if you're, you know, everything is good. Who's doing what? And then I want you to practice reporting in every month based on that role and responsibility, not on this is Sean, this is Rob, this is Kitty, this is Colin, okay? So I want roles and responsibilities and report in based on that. So, you know, Sean, if you're still doing the planning, then, okay, you're the director of planning, implementation. You might be the director of everything. I don't care. I just want you to think about each role and responsibility.
That's a hell of a good idea.
Right. And then how you do each one and what's included in it. By the way, we've started this thing called we had the 24-month calendar, right, for ideas for the regular 12-4-2s. Well, one team came to me and said, look, you know, why don't we make a 24-month calendar for marketing? I said, tell me about it. They said, well, we do things all the time for clients, but we don't have it actually laid out. We kind of know when they're going to be. But we'd like to make a 24-month calendar for marketing. I said, great. So what would be on it? And they said, well, we do client appreciation days. We do seminars where we bring a client and they invite a friend. We do enthusiastically endorsed networking groups. We do, you know, around the holidays, we do something, you know, for our clients, so forth. So I just think that would be really good for everybody on the team, knowing what's coming up, that they're prepared for it. And you want to, you know, from time to time, you want to show the colors, right? You want to brandish the flag, show the colors, and tell people in the community that you guys are out there and you're doing this and this and this. And that would include community involvement, right? So if there's a big event or for something that you're involved in, that would go on the 24-month calendar. So everybody prepares for, you know, we're hosting a race or we're doing something for charity. That goes on there. So that's all part of marketing. Okay? Make sense?
Yep. It does.
Yep.
Rob, you said this before, but I clearly had forgotten this, that we're not essential for a customer. If we're not essential to their lives and they're a customer and we don't want any customers.
Right. Right. If you're not calling them every month or they don't want to hear from you every month, you're not essential. You used the term essential. I didn't. So there you go.
You got to go.
I think that's very, very important.
We got one more scrub to do,
okay.
Rob.
I got to tell you, Rob. You're like the most popular guy in the office now because everybody says to people, you see this respect guy? He's giving away $10 million in handfuls like he's passing out candy at Halloween. And they come in and go, what the hell are you doing? I said, he's doing what Rob Knapp told him to do.
It's really good. Now the key is to double our business, right?
So here's the punchline, Rob. If you lock the doors and the market just stays flat, and we don't come to work the rest of the year, what's the book going to generate?
We'll do 4.25 million this year.
If we don't add on, and Rob, we think our close from clients this year looks best to be about 25 million.
It's great. Let's make it 100.
I like what you think.
You know, Rob, one of the things that Rob Reich has done over the course of the last, you know, call it 60 to 90 days is, you know, for the last 18 to 36 months, we've been talking about, you know, when is all this going to come to an end in terms of the market? And, you know, we had gone through and met with a couple of institutional fixed income managers and went up to New York, had a couple of interviews, and honed in on one specifically. And as a result, we are transitioning, you know, our entire book to have a relationship with this one fixed income portfolio manager. Now, this is not going to be a huge revenue generator. In fact, it's probably going to, you know, diminish the overall revenues of the practice. But it's engaged client conversations in a way that, you know, we haven't had over the course of the last couple of years. And Rob, I think you put in play at least moving $12 million of assets that are held away for a client that is already paying us $175,000 a year to think about us in a much different light. So by getting rid of, you know, 40 households, honing in and deepening the relationships that we have with the ones that are still here, and really focusing in on the clients, what they're wanting, what they're asking for, and having very in-depth and more meaningful conversations. That's how we're going to get to 100 million. And, you know, I think having this, you know, I'm glad we're having this conversation, because I think, Rob, we need to do one more scrub. We need to do that probably in the next 60 days.
I think you're right. You know, and, Rob, the other thing that we're getting a lot of traction with, and that I'm actually talking to strangers, not even strangers, but friends, and, you know, I won't take on clients as friends as clients anymore. I've learned that lesson. But we were down with some friends this last weekend. I was down in the Carolinas the weekend before last. One's an anesthesiologist, the other one's an OBGYN, and he said, you know, hey, yeah, we've had a great year, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the pension plans at work, this, that, and I said, yeah, everybody's had a great year. I said, I got to be honest with you, in a year like this, I'm the most overpaid guy out there. I said, but while everybody's out running around high-fiving themselves about what a great year, quote-unquote, we're all having, I'm asking myself, what am I missing? What's next? Where is the risk going to come from? Because understand this, as the market goes higher and higher and higher, the irony is clients feel more and more and more secure. You're actually less and less secure than you were before. And they said, Jesus, you're a real buzzkill. I said, well, maybe, but that's the fact of the matter. You've got more risks in your portfolio than you did 25% ago. And they've gotten more concentrated. And then the other thing that I hit on with them that I have never really recognized as so misunderstood in the non-investment population, frankly, probably even within the investment population, they said, well, you know, we talk to our advisors all the time, and they tell us that we're really well diversified and we don't have to worry. And I said, diversification has nothing to do with de-risking. They are two completely different things. And if somebody tells you that they de-risk by diversifying, you're not de-risked. So you need to go back and say, great, happy I'm diversified. Tell me how that de-risked my portfolio.
Yep. So anyway, look, guys, your firm has got a lot of quick catching up to do, and it represents a tremendous opportunity because, you know, we were doing the private wealth thing in my former firm 20 years ago, okay?
Yep.
20 years ago, right? Now, where's all the growth coming from in the industry? It's all coming from the private wealth advisor.
Yep.
And that's why your firm went to it. I guarantee it. It wasn't because they were like, oh, we want to do this because everybody else has done it. No, it's because they're seeing the growth these other firms are having. And you've got to specialize. You cannot take a regular FA and turn him into a private wealth advisor. He's got to be different. And so what you want to do is you want to brand yourself now within your firm as a private wealth advisor that is very different. Okay. And how are you going to do that? It's because your structure, your process, your organization. I mean, they used to be curious about what all the folders were about, right?
Yeah.
Now you've got to do that all the way down the line. Your investment process has to be beautiful. It's got to be supernova. It's got to be consistent. You want to have your financial planning process consistent. Process driven. You want to have your supernova service process customized, driven. You want to have a real concierge practice. They're paying you a substantial fee. You must deliver service for that. Therefore, there will be no customers. There are only clients, advocates, where you're essential. Right. So you just have to make that final push to take that CEO of Martin Marietta and sit down and have dinner and explain life in the future. Because by the time, think about it, Rob, by the time he retires, are you definitely the guy that's going to get it all? I don't know. But if you're not doing 12-4-2, maybe
you're exactly right, Rob. I mean, we got this PowerPoint really just brought home to us unbelievably powerfully. We had a meeting in November with a client, took the time to say, what are the things you really want to have happen? What are your big concerns? What are this or what are that? And we went down, and I would say we spent, she's a CFO of Kimberly Clark, so you know, what are we going to tell her about global markets and things?
We sat down
and said, these are your three big objectives. These are your four big concerns. So what we've done is we've looked at your three big objectives, and we've said, what happens if any one of these big four concerns hit us? Can we still get there? Can we still do these things? And the punchline of this all is, Rob, when we were done, we went to dinner with her the night before, and she said, I hope you're going to tell me tomorrow that I can do these things. And I said, Maria, we're not going to do a sneak preview tonight, but tomorrow's meeting will be good. One of the things they wanted to do is they wanted to buy another house in Colorado Springs within a week.
Mm-hmm.
Of us having had the meeting, she bought the house in Colorado Springs. And the best news of all this is, Rob, with us, she's got $10 million held away that she can't even liquidate now, but she's also on the board of directors of General Mills, is about $25 to $30 million. And she said that you guys have now put me on a track that I think at the end of 2021, I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to do this. And so I said to her, and I'm pinging her right now saying, we said we're going to get religious no matter where you are or whatever. We are going to sit down face-to-face every quarter. I'm pinging you to make that meeting. I've had to ping her twice, and she says, I know, I owe you. We're going to get there. But it had nothing to do with where the markets were or anything else. It was that this is what you want your life to look like. This is how we're going to do it. Here's the things that you think could get in your way. Here's how we intend to mitigate those risks.
Good. Okay.
So, Rob, can I just go back and ask you, really quickly, yep. In terms of customizing, you said the investment process, the financial planning, the experience, the service, anything else?
Well, service is rapid response to problems.
Yep.
1242 plus 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. That's critical. The planning process, to differentiate yourself in the planning process by adherence to the follow-up model to make sure that nothing gets missed. All right, everybody plans, nobody follows up, nobody holds them accountable, nobody dots the I's and crosses the T. That's your job. That's what we use the 1242 for. So people think, well, you use the 1242 for customer contact. No, you use it to implement the financial plan, which is an ongoing process changing every day, right? It's a dynamic, changing plan. It's not static, doesn't go on the wall, doesn't go, up on the bookshelf. So that's the process. It's a process. So that is different. Regular client contact is different. The investment process should be you guys should have a consistent process that you can articulate beautifully, but then feels customized to each person, but isn't.
Right.
It is, but it should feel that way. I think one of the things that you need to do is make sure, which, we all get busy, right? Do you have, when you're going to be an essential to a person, that means you are, you're essential more than financial planning. You are a consultant to them in their life, having everything to do with life. So are you truly a consultant in life, or are you just in the financial world? So do you have the enthusiastically endorsed list with an answer to, my son just was, he was just picked up by the cops. I think I've got a serious drug problem. Who do I call? Right?
Yeah.
So you got the lawyer, you got the drug counselor, you got the psychologist, the psychiatrist, you got four names of vetted people that are good that would be perfect for this kid. Okay? So that's so important when you're dealing with high net worth clients, because they don't know who the hell to go to, and they don't have answers to these things because they're busy. Okay? So you need to have them. And so build that enthusiastically endorsed list. So one of the questions, I want you to ask two questions on every monthly call until you get the entire enthusiastically endorsed list filled out, and then you have your own team enthusiastically endorsed group.
Okay.
Okay? No jerks allowed. Nobody's let in unless they are good people, both in terms of the enthusiastically endorsed and the clients. Meaning, you're not going to send a jerk to one of your best enthusiastically endorsed consultants. All right, no jerks allowed. Because everyone is going to bust their tail to help you. That's on that list, and that's your client. That's your enthusiastically endorsed appreciation group that you take to dinner, river cruise. You know, they're in Washington on the river. You treat them great because they all are critical and they love meeting each other and they refer like crazy to each other because they've been vetted. So no one goes on the list unless you absolutely met them and cleared them. They're all givers, good people, nice people that you can trust. So that's an essential part of this whole process that you probably loved the idea and never did much with it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so let's work on that. It's part of your homework. So I want to have new roles and responsibilities. Go through them. Make sure you know what each role is. And then tell me about your new enthusiastically endorsed list. And then we'll just keep building from there.
Okay. Hey, Rob, what were the two questions for every call?
Who is your CPA? Who's your attorney?
Gotcha.
The next week is, who's your realtor? Do you use a commercial realtor? The next week is, by the way, you know, my daughter's looking for a dentist. Who do you know? You know, so two each week until you get the list done.
Gotcha.
Okay, fill it out. Have the list. And remember, when they say, no, I don't have them, what's that? Opportunity.
Right, exactly.
Right? Yep. So you're looking for the quality people, and you're looking for the no, I don't have that guy, or I've outgrown my CPA. So this becomes the giving tree.
Yep.
It keeps on giving. But you got to keep asking it until you have every client filled out. Should be in each folder.
Okay. Sounds good.
By the way, that little company in your town continues to rock and roll. Coast Guard.
Good. I watch it every day, Rob. Yes, it does.
I know. It's been very good to Bobo here. It's been very good to me.
I think it's already up 26-30% this year.
I know. So go see them. Go get the top 10 executives. They got to be making a ton of money. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they've got to be thinking about getting a little bit of their concentration dialed back.
Well, they got to be thinking they're pretty happy with life, okay?
Exactly.
And they're not going to be in a bad mood. Let me put it that way. Somebody calls.
Good point.
They're
great,
right?
If they are, they're in the No Jerks Allowed club.
Right.
Yeah, nothing's worth being a spend up if you're a poor jerk. If you're a rich jerk, we really don't want to know you. All right, Rob. Thanks for all your help. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, great to be back in touch. This is so fun. All right. And welcome, Kitty and Colin.